Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim with lesson number 60. We are in the 16th Perek, Mishnayos 2 and 3. Perek Tesayin, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel. We are continuing to study the dinim of a kli eitz, of a wooden utensil, wooden vessel, and we're defining the point at which in its production, as you manufacture or produce one of these vessels, at what point is it considered a finished vessel? When it's unfinished, it's not mekabel tuma. When it's finished, of course, it is. So what point exactly are various vessels considered to be finished? Have they reached their gemar malacha, their stage, their end stage? So the Mishnah begins, Hasalim shel eitz, baskets which are made of wood. Mishayachsom vikanev. Once the following two procedures have been performed, it is a finished product. One is chasima, mishayachsom. This means when, as you're weaving the walls and the rim, the top rim of the basket, you take the end of one of the long, pliable, flexible wooden planks or boards which you are weaving around, flexible enough so that you can bend them. And you finish the last part of it, and you've completed and tied the knot so that it is now complete. And there are always loose ends which have to be trimmed off. When you've trimmed them, that's the meaning of vikanev, then it is considered a finished product, and it is makabel tumo. Before mishiyachsom vikanev, it's not a finished product, it's not makabel tumo. Vishel tomorrow, if you have a basket not made of eitz, of wood, which is flexible but hard, but rather it's made from the branches of a dekel tree, of a date tree, which are even more flexible and soft, afal pi shelo kinev mi befnim, even if you didn't trim the protruding branches, which are now protruding into the airspace of the basket, no matter. Tome, it is mekabel tuma. Why? Shekein mekaimen. Because it is possible to keep and to use permanently a basket made of tomorrow, made of this softer reed, even if the ends of each reed are protruding into the inside of the vessel, because they're soft and they don't scratch, they don't break the contents of the sal shel tomorrow. Kalkolo, when you're speaking of a different type of basket, which is smaller than the above, and which is made of gemi, which is also a soft substance which derives from the resin of a tree, from the sap of a tree. And this kalkola typically has a handle, meaning it has something from which it can be suspended onto a hook or a nail or a branch or whatever. So there, three stages are required before it's considered complete. Mishiyachsom, the top weave has to be totally done, totally, the knot has to be tied. Vikanev, all protrusions have to be trimmed. Vigmor es ha teluyo, and you've completed the string made of gemi out of which you have at the top of the kalkala, which is suspended from a hook or something in order to hang there. Then it's reached its gemar malocha, and it is mekabel tuma. Beis haleginin uveis hakosos. If you have a wooden basket which is made in such a way that it can contain leginin, Leginim are pitchers. Normally, a chavis is a large barrel, which you can't bring a chavis to the table. So you pour from the chavis whatever is inside of it, wine, coke, Coca-Cola, whatever, and you pour it into the leginim, which is a table-sized pitcher. And from the leginim, from the pitcher on the table, you pour into the individual cups of the people sitting around the table. So they had kind of a tray-like basket into which you put leginim if you were serving, bringing pitchers from the chavis to the table. So you had many pitchers in these baskets, each of which had like compartments into which these leginim fit. Or beis hakosos, or you have a basket in which there are little compartments. Each compartment contains a kos, a cup. Afal pi shelo kinev mebifnim. Even if you didn't trim the loose ends that protruded into the inside of these baskets, tomei, it is still mekabel tumah. Shekein mekaimen, because one would keep such a basket even without performing the act of kineva, of trimming the loose ends. In fact, I saw in one of the Mefarshim that these protruding loose ends inside the basket kind of hold the cups or the leginim, the pitchers, more tightly in place. So there's even an advantage to have these loose ends. So therefore, afal pi shelo kineh mibifnim, it is nevertheless tomei, it's mekabel tumah, because it is a finished product. Hakenonin haketanim. The kanon is a small basket-type utensil which you use as a way of sorting out psoles from ochel. You have, it's shaped in such a way that it's kind of like a funnel. It's wide at one end and narrow at the other. And you put into the wide end things like, imagine chickpeas with little peels around them, and you squeeze it into the basket so that it goes from the wider end through the smaller tube. And as it goes through the tube, the chickpea itself comes out of the narrow end, out of the spout of this kanon, but the rind or peel or husk around it is retained in the kanon. So this is a kanon. So the small kanonim, which are also made of reeds, which are woven in a certain pattern. And similarly, vahaklosos. Klosos are also small little containers in which women will keep their darning needles, safety pins, things like that, a small little basket. There, the end point at which they're considered gemar malocha, which they're considered complete, is mishiyachsom vikanev, when the last bit of reed no longer protrudes but is tucked in or tied, so that's a sign of ending, and also the loose ends are trimmed, then it's considered mekabel tumah. So hakanonin haktanim v'hakalasos, the end point is mishiyachsom vikanev. Hakanonim hagadolim, v'hasugin hagadolim. However, the larger kanonim, or the larger boxes or containers, there their end product is, the end stage is mishiyaaseh shnei durim lorochav shelohem. Imagine you're making a basket. So the first thing you do is you weave the floor of the basket, the bottom, the shulayim. Then you begin to weave a circular wall, which will eventually be the walls of the basket. So in order to define the width of the basket, you begin to weave around the rim of the floor a circular wall. When you have two rows of such a circle, shnei durim, defining the width of the basket, then you're considered to have a finished basket, even though it's not very high basket, but it's enough to contain something with just shnei durim, two rows of wool. Yom nafa uchavora. Yom nafa, we learned, literally, of course, it's the sea around a strainer or a sieve, a sifter of some sort, but these are the walls which encircle strainers or sifters in order that none of the food which you're putting through the strainer should get lost. So you have around it this type of a wall. Or v'chaf shel moznayim, the weight which is shaped like a spoon, using it as a weight, you're putting something in it to weigh, so weigh, so therefore you have a kaf which is shaped in a certain way. So there too, for these utensils, the yom nafo chvoro, the chav shel mosnayin, again, when you weave it in such a way that you have already one wall rising vertically above the floor of this utensil, mishiyase dur echad, you have one row rising vertically, larochav shelahem, defining the width of the ultimate eventual basket, it's already mekabel tumah. Hakupa, when it comes to the kupa, which is also some type of a small box made of woven reeds, so the Gemara Malacha for the kupa is Mishiyase Shtei Tzefiros L'Rochav Shelo. When you make two tzefiros, again, two rows rising vertically from the bottom of the kupa, once you have these two rows, then it is mekabel tumo. The Gon explains, the Vilna Gon, that the difference between a tzfira and a dur, before we learned with reference to the yam shel napo chvorom, and with reference to the sugim gedolim, either two durim or one dur. Here, with reference to the kupa and to the arok, let's learn the last few lines of words of the Mishnah of Ho-Arok. Arok is also some type of a small basket or small sieve. The Gemara Malacha is Mishayase Bot Svira Achas, when you have one row of wool protruding upwards vertically. So kupa requires two sfiros and arok requires one sfiro. Why, in reference to the large kanonim and the large sugim, we speak of two durim, and with reference to the yom nafo chvora and kavsho mezmayim, we speak of one dur, and when it comes to the kupa and the arok, we speak of two sfiros or one sfira? So the Vilna Gaon explains that they're really the same thing, the sfira and the dur. But the dur is a situation where the entire bottom of this vessel is made of one reed, which is twisted around and around and around. So you start in the middle of the reed, then you twist the reed around itself, and then around itself, so you have ever-widening circles. However, at some point, you can have it take the beginning of that reed and just insert it back into the ever-widening circle. In other words, so it's never a complete circle, because as you wind the reed round and round about, the most external winding has to be inserted into the circle. So it's not really a truly complete circle. That is a dur. However, a tzefira is made of several reeds, and each reed contains a full circle. So you have a reed, you make a circle out of it, a complete circle, tying together the ends. Around that, you have a slightly longer reed, and that goes a second time around. So that's the difference between a dur and a tzefira. One way or the other, the keli is not considered complete until its width has been defined, depending on its size, with one dur or two tzviros, or one tzvira or two durim, and that's the definition of the kli with reference to the point at which it is considered nigmar, and it is mekabel tumah. And so we have completed Mishnah Gimel, and in the process, lesson number 60 is done.